I hope you all had a good Thanksgiving and recovered from your turkey hangover. Probably still enjoying some of the leftovers. So, we all start our day at some point, some people earlier than others. Mine starts most mornings at 4 a.m. when the alarm sounds, but not by choice. Most days, my shift at Fast Track starts at 5 a.m., so 4 o'clock wake-up call gets me to work on time. So 4 o'clock is when the alarm sounds for me, and that begins my morning routine. But whether 4 or 6 or 8 or whenever it is that you wake up, once you do wake up, you typically will begin your day with a routine. There's a series things that you'll do almost automatically on a regular basis. From the moment we wake, our morning, more often than not, follows a predictable pattern. There are things that we do morning after morning, and even not just the things that we do, but the order in which we do them. So not only do you brush your teeth, at least I hope you brush your teeth, but you probably brush your teeth at the same point in your morning routine every day. And it's become so ingrained that it's almost automatic. You don't even really think about it. Sometimes in my morning stupor, as I'm still trying to wake up and I'm half asleep, I can't remember whether I brushed my teeth or not. So before I go to work, I'll go up thinking that I must have forgotten because I don't remember doing it, and I'll find that my toothbrush is wet, an indication that I've already done it without even thinking about it. And that happens to us, that our bodies can do things without our mind fully engaged because it's just so much a part of our routine. But the way that we start our day has a bearing on the way that that day will unfold. Your morning routine has the power to kind of set you off on the right foot or the wrong foot, to prepare you for a good day or a bad day. So you know what it's like to wake up late, to feel rushed, running around frantically trying to get everything done. That sets you up for a frustrating day, more often than not. Maybe you're one who hits the snooze button on the alarm often. There's a lot of research about the detrimental effects of the snooze button, because the hour before you wake up, your body begins to prepare itself for the day. Your body temperature rises a little bit, and there are hormones that are released that prepare you for alertness. Once you hit the snooze button, then your body becomes confused. It was already preparing to wake itself up, and now it's re-entering into a sleeping system. So it begins to think that now it needs to prepare itself for the sleep cycle. So it was preparing itself to wake up. Now it's preparing itself to go back to sleep, and then the snooze sounds again. So the second alarm, when that alarm sounds, you actually end up feeling more tired, according to research, than you did after the first alarm. You'd think that by getting that extra 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes of sleep, that it's going to be good for you, but you actually end up waking up feeling more tired than if you had just gotten up right away. It's a routine that's working against you, setting you up for a bad start to your day. So your morning routine, which seems like it could be productive by giving you more sleep, is actually hurting you. Mark Twain suggested a way that we can start our day on the right foot. He said, "Eat a frog first thing in the morning, and nothing worse will happen to you the rest of the day." Get the worst out of the way first, and then everything else from there has to be an improvement. So maybe you'll incorporate that into your morning routine. So whether you continue to use the snooze button, setting you up for a bad day, or you eat a frog first thing in the morning, setting you up for a good day, that's for you to choose. But what I want to do today is give you a couple of suggestions of things that I'd like to see if you and we all as a congregation could add in to our morning routine. You already have an established pattern, something that you do morning after morning. So these are two things. I just want you to slip into that pattern that's already established. Include them in your routine. And if you do, I think they're going to set you up with a good tone for your day. So we start in Psalm chapter 3, and this is kind of what led me here this Sunday after Thanksgiving, because we begin with gratitude. Psalm chapter 3, David prays to the Lord, I lie down and sleep, I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I tend to take sleep for granted. It's something that's very familiar. I do it every day. I sleep for hours at a time. 1/4 to 1/3 of our lives is spent sleeping. Every day, every month, every year, 1/4 of our time is spent sleeping. So I've got plenty of practice. Most nights, sleep comes naturally. It doesn't demand a lot of fancy techniques or unique skills. I mean, for me, with a wake-up call at 4 a.m., I feel like I'm continually sleep-deprived. So for the most part, as soon as I lay down at night, I fall right asleep. Most nights I set my alarm, I slide under the covers, close my eyes, and then that is the last thing that I remember. Off to sleep I go. But occasionally, that pattern is hindered. Sometimes by stress or excitement or worry or sugar or caffeine. Some nights I can't sleep. In fact, I went through a season, it was probably 6 or 7 years ago now, of insomnia where night after night, I had a hard time falling to sleep. It might have been one of the most horrible periods of my life because that lack of sleep affected my attitude throughout the day. I was irritable, sluggish, felt like I was barely holding it together. When we're lacking in sleep, we can't fully engage with our daytime responsibilities. Those episodes, whether one night of restlessness or a season of insomnia, reminds us of how precious sleep really is. It's a gift from God, a gift that's needed to recharge our bodies. A lot that we don't understand about sleep, even with all the research that's been done. We do know we need it. Laboratory animals that are deprived of sleep will die. Research has given us some understanding of what happens in our sleep. And so just to scratch the surface, three things that have been found is first, we in our sleep are able to make decisions. Our brains, while we are sleeping, continue to process information. And even on a deeper level than when we're awake. So you've probably had the experience, you go to bed with a decision that needs to be made. You're not quite sure what to do. And then somehow, by the time you wake up in the morning, you feel more settled on the course that you need to take, the decision that needs to be made. And that's pretty common because while we're sleeping, our brains continue to process the things that we were thinking about while we were awake. So we make decisions while we're sleeping. And second, we consolidate memories while we're sleeping. Many people recognize that dreams, part of the purpose of dreams, is to help kind of take all that information from the day and to place it in storage bins. And so long-term memories are stored while we're sleeping. The brain is basically reconfiguring itself throughout the night. And that's how things that we practice become automatic to us. So the things that we have had to think about as we practiced gets then stored into long-term memory as we sleep so that we can do those things with little thought. And you've had this experience. Maybe you've been working on your tennis backhand or practicing a new dance step or maybe learning a chord on the piano where at first you have to think about where every finger has to go. But over time, that becomes automatic. You don't have to think about it. Well, that happens as we sleep, that the brain is forming those connections so that the things that we practiced can become second nature. And then third, while we're sleeping, research has shown that our bodies are restoring themselves. Neurotoxins are being neutralized while we're sleeping. Our cells are dividing, our tissues are synthesizing, growth hormones are being released through our sleeping period. Sleep is when the brain and the body are doing their maintenance work, essentially. if we have an assembly line that never stops, when can they ever do repairs on parts of that assembly line? Well, sleeping is when we kind of put the halt on the assembly line and allow our bodies and our brains to do the repair work, to do some upkeep. But we don't have to understand all that to recognize the benefit of a good night of sleep. You know what it's like to wake up and feel rested. And I suspect you know what it's like to wake up and feel like you're dragging yourself out of bed after a restless night. In Psalm chapter 3, David is expressing gratitude to God for a restful night of sleep. And in David's case, it couldn't be taken for granted. It's something that is in a situation where we wouldn't expect for him to have a good night of sleep. Most Psalms don't really tell us the context into which they're written. We're just told maybe who authored them, but not the context in which it was written. But in this case, we're actually told. And so it must be an important part of our understanding what this psalm is all about, that David is on the run from his son Absalom when he pens this psalm. He's a refugee. He's hiding from his own flesh and blood. Absalom is out to steal the kingdom from him. And so he's on the run, anxious, saddened. This would be a time in his life when sleeplessness would be expected. His whole life is kind of anxiety driven. And he begins the psalm with this anxious opening. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying to me, God will not deliver him. There's all these enemies that he has. Popular opinion is that he has little chance of deliverance in this. And yet, he finds peace. He recognizes that the Lord is a shield around him. And with that confidence, that assurance that God is his protector, he's able to fall asleep. The sleep is seen as a gift from God, a reason to be grateful. I lie down and sleep. This is David's recognition of the blessing of a restful night. Good night of sleep is a gift from God. And I wake again because the Lord sustains me. On the other end of the sleeping is the waking. And God is in that too. That God protects David through the night. He wakens the next morning. Grateful. As a refugee who is sought out by his son, looking to take his life, that also can't be taken for granted. That he wakes again the next morning. Every night I give myself over to my weariness. I drift off to sleep. I don't understand all of it, but I know I need it. So I allow myself to sleep for hours at a time. I drift into, for the most part, a largely unconscious state. I'm unaware. I'm unresponsive. I have no control over my body as I sleep. And all that happens without my awareness. So as I sleep, there's no guarantee that I'll ever wake again. In my sleep, I trust that God will sustain me. Each morning I wake up, I discover that God has, that he brought me through that night. I woke this morning because God sustained me, and he didn't have to. So we begin here with a new routine, that we all would begin our day praising God for that new day. Expressing our gratitude for God's work of sustaining you through the night. That he brought you to this day. One with all kinds of possibilities. So thank him at the outset. Lord, I woke this morning because you sustained me. Before I've done any conscious thing in this day, Lord, you have already been at work. You have carried me from the moment I laid down to sleep last night until I woke up this morning. So thank you. It's easy to overlook God in his sustaining work. Indy Wilson puts it this way in the book Death by Living. We all tend to not even notice our breathing, not even notice that our fingertips can feel and pick things up, that pie smells like pie, that our hangnails heal, that Honeycrisp apples are real, that dogs wag their tails, and that awe awaits us in the sky. Oh, but we notice the heartbeats when they stop, and we beg for more. All these things that we take for granted. But the way to combat that is by setting the tone, first thing in the morning, of seeing God at work, seeing Him at work as we slept. Lord, You sustained me. You brought me to this new day. So thank You. As you recognize Him in that moment that's easily taken for granted, His sustaining you through the night, it prepares you then to recognize Him throughout the day in the many ways in which He'll intervene and be at work. Those are interventions that could easily go unnoticed unless you're looking for them. But by bringing this into your routine, you have a greater sensitivity to see Him the rest of the day. If you can see Him in the fact that you awoke this morning because of His sustenance, then you will probably also be able to see Him in other ways throughout the day. And I can attest the difference that this makes. Because I remember reading this verse in Psalm chapter 3 for my first time as a high schooler. And I remember I was sitting on my bed reading my Bible, and I came to this verse, and I remember realizing that day, as I was reading this, was a gift from God, and that it didn't have to be given to me. And by saying to God, I awoke because You sustained me, it was giving me a healthy perspective to start my day. So that's first, gratitude. Eyes open to all that God has done for you, beginning in the morning with His sustaining you through the night. First, gratitude, and then second, expectation. Again, a reflection from the psalmist David, again, an expression of his thoughts in the morning. Psalm 143, verse 8, let the morning bring me word of Your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in You. Show me the way I should go, for to You I entrust my life. It's God's unfailing love that sets David to ask God the way that he should go, to reveal to Him what he should do. In the morning, he is reminded of God's unfailing love. And maybe in part, that unfailing love for David is seen in that sustaining work, carrying him through the night, because that is an expression of God's love for us. So God's been good, and that's where we began, with gratitude. Thank You for this new day. You sustained me. You awoke me to this new day. But there's a reason that God brought you to this day. There's a purpose that He has for you in this day. And if He didn't, He wouldn't have sustained you through the night. If He was done with His work in your life, He would have brought you home to heaven. He left you here for a reason. So this is an opportunity for us to expect what God has for us in that day, to anticipate that He has a plan, a purpose for you. And so David says, show me the way I should go. It's an expression of expectation, an expectation that God has an agenda for him in that day. There's a path that God wants him to follow. So at the start of the day, David is inviting God to reveal that to him. Each day, it's a new opportunity. A new opportunity to walk with God, to follow His direction, to obey His instructions. And maybe yesterday, you didn't do real well. Could have been due to outright rebellion, but maybe it was something more passive than that. Because if I'm not actively looking for how God is at work in my life and wants to use me on a given day, then chances are, I'll plow right through the day with my own agenda and blinders on to the way that God is nudging me this way or that, wanting to use me. Instead of asking God to show me the way that I should go, already I have mapped out what I want for that day. And any hindrances to that plan are treated as obstacles to be overcome, not as an opportunity for God to use me in that moment. So that interruption that threw off my schedule, that cost me valuable time and energy, that frustrated me with the inconvenience, yeah, that was God dropping an opportunity in my lap, intending for me to be his representative, his eyes, his ears, his mouth, his hands. And all I can think about is how to get back on schedule. I can be oblivious to the way that God is leading. And that's the problem. Obliviousness, unawareness. It's not seeing the opportunities for what they are. Opportunities presented by God that he wants us to take advantage of. So here's the second component to add to your morning routine. Expectation. Show me the way I should go today. Show me what you want me to do. I'm open to that. God, I know you want to use me today in ways that I can't foresee. I don't know what they are. But I want to be prepared. And I want to go through my day with my eyes open to those opportunities. Opportunities with family members or coworkers or community members or neighbors. And I want to see those opportunities for what they are. So help me to treat those opportunities as divine appointments. Open my eyes to them. Show me the way that I should go. Today, Lord, chart my course for me. And then help me to follow. By setting your agenda beneath God's agenda for you, you will see him work in the way that your day unfolds itself. When you are looking, you will be surprised at how many times you will see God setting opportunities before you. Those chance encounters, they won't seem so chance anymore. Those interruptions will be reinterpreted as divine appointments. When your eyes are open to it, you'll see it. On days when I have come at it with an understanding that God has a plan for me is noticeably different than on days that I don't start that way. When I ask God, how do you want to use me today? It seems to open up the opportunities so that at the end of the day, when I look back, invariably, there are cases where I've seen God open up an opportunity for me. So that's it. I want us to begin our day with these two components: gratitude and expectation. Not suggesting something elaborate or time-consuming. This can be done in under a minute. As you're doing your morning routine, I woke because you sustained me. That's gratitude. And Lord, show me the way I should go today. That's expectation. Just a few seconds was all it takes. But it sets you up for the day that will come, the opportunities that will be set before you. So start your day with that. How are you going to do that? Well, the way to do it best is to just incorporate it into your already established routine. Attach it to something that you already do as part of your morning. So the best way to have success is to bind it to something that's already part of it. Maybe it's as you brush your teeth, or as you eat your breakfast, or as you put on your makeup, or as you scrub in your conditioner, or as you blow dry your hair, or as you grab your keys or your wallet, or as you're putting your boots on, or as you hop in the car. It can be anything. You choose, pick something in your morning routine, and now commit to latch these two things to it: gratitude and expectation. I woke because you sustained me. Lord, show me the way I should go. To help, you should give yourself a reminder. Whatever it is you choose to latch this to, give yourself a reminder when you come to that point in your daily routine. So maybe it's a note taped to your bathroom mirror or a rubber band around the tube of toothpaste. Maybe it's just a penny on top of your wallet as a reminder. Whatever it is, just something that when you do it, because our tendency is to do those things automatically without thought, this is going to be something just enough to bump you out of autopilot, to remind you. Oh yeah, I want to incorporate two more things into my morning routine at this point. I need to include gratitude and expectation. Lord, you sustained me through the night. Thank you. Now, show me what you want me to do today. Expectation. When you do that, you will be surprised at how dramatically those two small additions to your morning routine will change the course of your whole day. So, make a decision here in this moment. What will you latch those two things to in your morning routine? And then what will you do to serve as a reminder for you in that moment in your routine to add these things in? When you go home from here, set yourself up for that opportunity tomorrow morning to begin your day with gratitude and expectation. Give it a week. Just try it for this week and see how it impacts the next 7 days. And from there, I think you'll be convinced that it's worth incorporating, not just for the 1 week, but for weeks after that. But let's just start with 1 week. So over these next 7 days, make that commitment. Incorporate these things in, latch to something in your morning routine, and see what God will do through it. Let's pray. Lord, this is just a simple little addition to what we already do in the morning. But I think it has the power to change our week. And so I pray that you would help us to incorporate both gratitude and expectation into each morning's routine over these next 7 days. Lord, just open our eyes to what part of our morning routine we should latch these to. And then I pray that we would prepare ourselves for that by setting ourselves up with maybe a note on the mirror or some sort of reminder to do this Monday morning when we wake. Lord, as we do that, I pray that it would open our eyes to the ways that you're at work and cause us to be more and more grateful, and for the opportunity set before us, cause us to become more and more expectant. And Lord, in that, I pray that you would use us for your purposes, that we would be faithful to you. It's in Christ's name we pray.